the reason why I'm up here is because the brother who was scheduled to be up here, he was somehow unscheduled. And I'm the unscheduled. And should we just bow our heads and look to the Lord for our time together? Lord, we ask your help. Because we know that without you, there's nothing. Without you, we can do nothing. We can hear nothing. And as we wait before you, help us to be in tune with you. Help us to fix our gaze on the Lord Jesus. We look to you corporately to hear something that's from your heart to our hearts. Cover this time, Lord, with your blood and also with your presence. We give ourselves to you and the Lord Jesus. Amen. This past month, a group of brothers and sisters, mostly from Taiwan and Hong Kong, and few from North American continent, and two from Australia, and few from Singapore, we were together on a tour through Jordan, Israel, and part of Egypt. And before we, at least in my own part, join this tour, I pray very much before the Lord. Just what I can learn of Him. Just wait before Him and to be open to the lessons the Lord would teach me. And since we came home, I've been reflecting on our trip and meditating before the Lord, just what I really learned on this trip. So I just share a little bit of what I personally learned during this trip, and I hope what I learned will be of help to you, brothers and sisters, and also to encourage your heart. So shall we turn first to a few portions of God's Word. Let's turn first to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll read verse 1 and 2 and 3. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. And then verse 6. And without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is the rewarder of those who seek him. And let's go on to read verse 13. All these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. And let's go to verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Verse 27. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured seeing him who is unseen. And just pay attention to this last phrase, seeing him who is unseen. And just one more portion, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. During our trip to Israel, particularly, we saw many, many wonderful sights. These sights that we saw, we walked and we touched, they are of great historical significance on the human level. We are told at present, yearly, about 2 million tourists enter into Israel. Tourism is one of the biggest industries in Israel at present. Majority of the tourists enter into Jerusalem, into Israel, a great percentage of them are evangelicals. Not only Americans, Canadians, people from the Western world are visiting Israel, people in other countries, particularly in the Far East, are also visiting Israel in big number. So while we were there, we ran into quite a few group of Korean believers also visiting Israel. And even though we cannot talk to each other, they can at least say hallelujah to us, and we can say hallelujah to them. And we know they are true believers. Now we saw many beautiful sites, historical sites. And the Lord seems to be speaking on me, to me, at least on my heart. All these seemingly sacred places, one day they're all going to disappear. They all go on to be gone forever. And the Lord said, can we see the unseen? Not just seeing the unseen, but seeing him who is the unseen. There's a great difference, just seeing the unseen. But we want to see him who is unseen. So I was praying along the trip, Lord, can I see you beyond this that are perishing, that are temporal? As we approach the end of this age, we often heard it is that which is spiritual that matters. That which is spiritual is real. That which is spiritual counts on God's side. But we are told by Paul in 2 Corinthians 4, the spiritual things are unseen. And the things that can be seen are temporal. And one of the problems with believers is that somehow we're still not able to be delivered completely from the seen. The thing that we can see, that we can touch. We are still very much drawn by the things that we can see, we can touch, because we feel secure about them. We have control over them. The unknown, the unseen is beyond us. We have no control. We have no assurance. so our real spiritual life is a life of faith. Our real way of spiritual way is a way of faith. Our real spiritual work is a work of faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. And he who comes to him must believe that he is. He is the I am. He is everything. He is. And because he is, all others are not. No one else is, but he alone is. And we can only come to know him by faith. So this trip, there are several things that really in a way shocked me greatly. Because some of those sites we call holy sacred sites, for example, where the Lord was born. Where he changed the 5 loaves and 2 fish fed the 5,000. We also went to Bethlehem. We went to Nazareth. We saw Joseph's carpentry shop. We saw all these sites. But brothers and sisters, when I walk into some of these sites, to me, initially it was quite depressing. It's quite oppressive. Because all these sites, from all these different sites, they built a shrine, an edifice. And all the things in there were just as pagan as some of the temples that I saw in Taiwan. No difference. No difference. And yet, Christians are flocking into these places. And they think in these places they can meet the Lord again. And some seem to think that if you've been to those places, you will never be the same again. Somehow, those places have the magic to transform your life. And brothers and sisters, it just shows that man, as he is in himself, is so capable of creating his own God and worshiping the work of his own hand. And brothers and sisters, we believers, we are not free from that. We are being tempted every day to create something with our own hands and obsess about what we have created. So the Lord already warned me. It's so easy to make what is sacred into something better. Idolatry, idol. We all have that potential. Now that's more on the negative side. Now that's more on the positive side. What amazes most of it is why God, in his sovereign wisdom, chose to send his son to that specific geographical spot in the world. We call it the Middle East or Israel. When you look at it with your physical eye, when you're there, and you look at it more objectively, strictly speaking, it's not a very attractive place. It's not a very attractive place. I think people go there is because of those sacred sites, not because of the beauty of the land. People go there is because there is something sentimental about those sites. There are far prettier sites in our country than in Israel. It's very true. Because for one thing, there's no trees. It's very dry. Everywhere you go, you see rocks and rocks. Now, when you look at River Jordan, yes, on the source of the river underneath the, below the Mount Hermon, the Caesarea Philippi, the water was very clear as crystal, gushing up through the rocks, from the rocks. But downstream, it was very narrow and not all that clear. In fact, your James River is so much better than River Jordan in a lot of ways. And no wonder, you remember in 2 Kings 5, Naaman, the Syrian general, when Elijah asked him to go to Jordan and dip 7 times to be cured of his disease, he said, why should I go there? He said, in Damascus, we have better rivers than what they have in Israel. And it was true. Now you remember Nathanael, the comment of Nathanael, he said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? That if you go to Nazareth, you agree with Nathanael. Because it's a very insignificant place. Very insignificant, very humble, very small place. A place, the least place you think a great man can come from. It's a very small place. And God, it just shows that God's way is so contrary to our ways. And the reason why the Lord Jesus was born there, lived there for 33 years, and died there, is none other than by divine appointment. It was God's appointed place for his son to be born. Because he was God's appointed man. The place was God's appointed place. The time for him to be born there was God's appointed time. And God knows what he's doing. So, a few of us, those who were there for that trip, at least few of us, we came to the conclusion. The only explanation for that land cannot be on the human level. It can only be on the spiritual level. Because humanly speaking, there's no explanation for the things that's been taking place in the land. So, the things I learned from what I observed is that the Lord Jesus in Galatians 4, he said, in the fullness of time, God sent his son. God initiated. Born of the woman, born under law. God was behind it. Not man. And then, of course, in John 1:11, we are told that he came to his very own. Those of his own received him. Why? Because he came with a specific mission. He was appointed, anointed by God to come to accomplish his will. And so the Lord really speaking to me in a very deep way. Brothers and sisters, I think as we live in this last day, we have to have a sense that we are those that are divinely appointed to be at a divinely appointed place, a divine appointed time for his purpose. And so, brothers and sisters, I just want to remind you and myself, you here in Richmond, we're there in South Jersey, just why you happen to be here. It's because job, or because here is a good place to raise a family? Is this all we think about? Or even say we are here, we have a wonderful fellowship. Even that. Even that. But do you and I, brothers, we have the inner sense that you are here is by divine appointment. This is God's appointed place for you and I to be at this particular time. Not for you and I to do what we want, but to do his will. And so, this is a very strong, the Lord really hit me. Why he chose that place for his son to be born? At that particular time, at that particular place, because it's not very attractive. We look at Peter's home, mud floor, and the wall is stone, so low. I mean, it's so primitive. What a humble place. Humanly speaking, you and I will never choose to be born in that place or live in that place. But God sovereignly chose his son to be born in that place. Or is it to undo all that Satan had done to man? And so God's way is totally contrary to our ways of thinking. And so what I came back for me is just to remind brothers and sisters, we need to have that sense that wherever we are there by divine appointment. The place we are is His appointed place for us. And the time there is by His appointment. For no other reason but for us to do His will. And this is first I want to share with you. I just pray and hope that we brothers and sisters, even though you didn't have a chance to go to Israel like I did, but nevertheless, this spiritual principle holds. This spiritual principle holds. And particularly when I was in London, I had a chance to fellowship with a group of Chinese brothers and sisters, and mostly from Hong Kong and some from Malaysia and Singapore. A lot of them, they came out of Hong Kong because they fear of the year 1997. When communists would take over Hong Kong. And so for the safety of their family, for the future of their family, they came out. And so I was there, I also shared this burden with them. If we came out of Hong Kong, go to England or come to UA, just because we can have a better living, have a better future for our children, for our thinking, it's no different from the thinking of the people of the world. But we are different people. So, brothers and sisters, it's very important that we be reminded again and again, because we are so easy to be settled down and live our own life, and God's house is ignored. We plan our own things, think for ourselves, and God's purpose we set it aside. So I feel that as we gather from time to time, we need to remind each other again and again that however you find ourselves, it's not by chance. It's by divine appointment. The place we are is appointed place. And the time is for Him to do something, accomplish something in us, through us, to the glory of His name. Now the second thing I want to share is that if you read the Old Testament, there are several forests mentioned in the scripture. For example, when Absalom was rebelling against his father David, and he was in the forest Ephraim, and because it was such a thick forest, remember his hair was caught in one of the branch, and later on he was perished. But today, if you go to Israel, you discover they don't have much trees. And so one of the efforts they are trying to do now is planting, replanting, reforesting. So the friends of Israel, those who join their tour, each one is asked to plant a tree somewhere in Israel for $60 to reforest the country, to beautify the country. Now, the impression I got from this trip is that once we lift God up, immediately we're in a state of ruin and desolation. Once we lift Him out, then we are in big trouble. And that was the warning to the Israelites. He said, when you enter into the land, when you enjoy you have everything, you're going to forget Me. And once you forget Me, then trouble begins. Curse will come upon you. We have it so good, we forget about God. There's a great danger. Blessing is good, but blessing without seeing the unseen, Him who is unseen, we're in big trouble. So this time we went to Israel, one thing I noticed is a lot of stone. It's a place of stone. You look at it, everywhere is stone. You close your eyes, you still see stone. All the buildings were stone. Everything stone, everything stone. And beautiful stone. And that draw my attention to Peter. Now, John 1, when the disciples encountered the Lord Jesus, you remember? And the Lord looked through Simon, and He said, now, From now on, you shall be called Cephas. That means you will be Peter. Those who come in contact with the Lord Jesus, they will never be the same again. So the Lord told Peter, he said, now, after this encounter, Peter, you will never be the same again. You are Simon, you will never be the same again. You shall be called Simon. Something's going to happen to you. Now you recall, Peter followed Jesus for a period, and then he left him, went fishing, and then looked by, then he came back and followed Jesus again. And when it comes to Matthew 16, okay, I hope our brother Paul will forgive me, because he has a reputation of calling some people a walking Matthew, because he knows that book very well. Okay, but anyway, chapter 16 is the only chapter, or one of the chapters in Matthew, the church was mentioned, and by the very lips of the Lord Jesus. And he revealed his mission, what he came for. The place where he revealed this truth was at Caesarea Philippi. And what a Christian reminded us again, reminded us at the last conference in West Coast, the Lord took his disciples to the very source, to the headwater of Jordan, where everything is clear and crystal. And it was he brings it to his original thought for his people, for his disciples. He said, who do you say that I am? And there Peter confessed, he said, you are the Son of the living God. And then, of course, the Lord Jesus, he said, this revelation has not come by blood and flesh, but through my Father. And then, immediately, the Lord spoke some very few words to Peter. Maybe we can turn to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. Verse 18. And I also say to you that you are Peter. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not overpower it. Now in John 1, the Lord said, you shall be called Peter. And here in Matthew 18, the Lord said, you also. I also say to you that you are Peter. That you are Peter. And upon this rock I will build my church. In John 1 he said, you shall be called Peter, but he said, you are Peter. But before the Lord called him, you are Peter, Peter made that confession. He said, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. And then the Lord answered, say, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And so the Lord really spoke to me this particular verse in a new way. This passage in a new way. The thought was, the Lord is changing us from stones to living stones. Transforming us. Changing us. And he said, I will build my church. But somehow we don't seem to sense that the real spiritual building work is going on. And the real spiritual way. Somehow we still sense that we are still in the midst of sinning spiritual ruin and desolation. There are stones here and there, but there is not a what? There is not a building work together. They seem to be scattered. There's not a cohesion. There is not a coming together. And as I look at the land of Israel, particularly around Jerusalem, all the buildings are very beautiful. They're all stone buildings. And yet, on the outskirts of Jerusalem, you see stones everywhere, light everywhere. And the thought that came to me is that, my brothers and sisters, without revelation, there's no truly transformation. We often want to be transformed. We long to be transformed, but somehow we find ourselves not being transformed. We want to be changed, but somehow we cannot change ourselves. And the Lord doesn't seem to be able to change us. And I feel it's because we lack that revelation, seeing Him who He is. Because transformation is to be like Him. So without seeing Him, transformation is impossible. Transform into what? Transform into what? We want to be changed. Change into what? So seeing Him must be first. Because transformation is to be like Him. He is our model. He is our goal. And I think the problem in many of us, we all want to be, we look at ourselves, we are so sick of ourselves. We want to be transformed. We cry to transform, but we fail to see Him who is unseen. Therefore, transformation cannot really take place. And I just want to encourage all of us, if you desire to be transformed, fix eyes on the Lord Jesus. Seeing Him who is unseen, then transformation will begin. So revelation, transformation follows revelation. And when there's transformation, then there is true building work. So Paul says, we need to remind us again and again some of these basic things that we need to know and not to ignore. And really ask the Holy Spirit to really help us to be faithful. Especially in these last days. There are so many things that will detract us. They'll divert our attention from the Lord Jesus. For example, what we saw in the Israel. Many, many believers still think those places that we saw were really indeed the sacred places. They do. That's why they pay pilgrimage there. At a great cost, just to be there, to touch those things. And behold those things, hoping those things will somehow transform their lives. But Hebrew tells us, it's by seeing Him who's unseen, then our life will be transformed. Because what is unseen is eternal. What is seen is temporal. So, brothers and sisters, where is our focus? What is our focus? The seen or the unseen. But not just unseen, by Him who is unseen. And that comes by revelation. They will be transformed. You know, when Peter heard the Lord say, now you shall be called Peter. I just wonder how Peter feel. He must feel said, he didn't say that to Andrew. He didn't say that to the other. He only said that to me. So I must be something. Some quite special. The Lord looked him through and he said, now, Simon, you shall be called Cephas, Peter. You know, our problem is that we think we are pretty special. And when I look at Israel, those stones is everywhere. There are Peters everywhere. You know, so there's no ground for people to think that he is something special. If Peter by himself is no different from all the other stones, it's when he put himself in the hand of the Master, he becomes a precious stone. So as I look at the fields in Israel, the stone, if it's not a building stone, it becomes a stumbling block. Because those fields, when they are full of big stones, the ground becomes very unproductive. You cannot plant anything. You cannot grow anything. Because all the stones get in the way. There's no way. There's no way. And brothers and sisters, the lesson that I learned on this trip, if we are not in the Master's hand for Him to do the building work, if we just lie there, brothers, we all become stumbling blocks to others. And we become unproductive spiritually. No fruit. And how essential it is for us to be a committed people. Totally to the Lord. For Him to do what He wants to do. Now the third point I want to share is very precious. Is We also took a side trip to Mount Sinai. And the Gorokong had been there, and the Mullahs were there some years ago. And I'm sorry that I didn't have the courage to climb to the top. But our brother Joseph climbed part way, but not all the way to the top. Pretty close to the top. Yeah. But anyway, we were at the southern tip of the peninsula. We flew from Tel Aviv to the southern tip of the Sinai Peninsula. And then that evening, about 30 of them, they took a midnight bus to St. Catherine Monastery to get ready for their midnight climb. 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock climb to the top so they can see the sunrise. And I know I was tired, physically not really able to do so, so we stayed back. But we joined them the next day. And the trip from where we stayed to the foot of Mount Sinai to the monastery, I think it's about 2.5-3 hour drive. And it's wilderness, rocks, mountains, all rocks, and very few vegetation. And so just before we arrived, a sister from Taiwan sitting next close to us, and she turned to me and she said, "Brother Jose," he said, "what is your thought after seeing all this? What is your deepest impression after seeing all this sight?" And I paused for a few seconds, because it's the kind of answer you cannot answer hastily. So after I thought through for a little bit, I responded. I said, "Sister," he said, "humanly speaking, no one in his right mind will choose this way. Because it's desert. It's wilderness. There's nothing that can sustain life. Of course, there's no water. There's nothing that can produce any life-sustaining food, anything that we can survive. It's a place of absolute desolation. And you know, somehow in sovereignty of God, He chose that route for His chosen people when they came out of Egypt, the way of Sinai. A way of faith, a spiritual way, not man's choosing, but God's choosing. And so, brothers and sisters, God's way is the only way. It's hard. It's hard for the natural man to accept. God's way is the only way. God's way is the best way. It defies our reasoning. We cannot reason it out. God's way is the right way. We know we can say it, but when we face it, we shake our head. We say it's impossible. If God is love, caring, how would He choose this way for us? How would He do that? And brothers and sisters, again, is faith. Seeing Him who is unseen. Seeing the end, not seeing the immediate. And then we came to the foot of Mount Sinai. And we heard a little bit of those who were up there and the report they came back and shared with us. It was horrible. It was terrifying. Because the first phase of their climb was more durable. But the second phase is almost endurable. Icy, cold, and they did not prepare enough food, not enough flashlight, and it was an almost impossible walk. And right up to the top, there were icy spots, and all the rocks there's no stable foothold that you can put your foot down. So after I heard the brother's report, I said, now, Lord, what do you want to say to us? What is the spiritual significance behind this climb? And how Moses somehow can get up there? How? You know, I mean, Moses went up there many, quite a few thousand years back. It must be even more primitive, more rough than what is today. Today, that path has been walked through many centuries. So there somehow should be a natural path for people to go up, but even that natural path still great danger to walk that path. And the only thing I can think of, my brothers and sisters, is because God called. And when He called, He made it possible. Without His call, none of us will make it. None of us. It's impossible. No way. But He's called. And when He called someone, Moses responded, and he made it. And same thing with us. Brothers, we are called. Without that call, none of us will make it. But when that call is there, for sure we'll make it. Because He will see us through. And the Lord's been saying to me, all of us, we heard that call once. You know, we follow a few steps, then we hear other calls. And that one call, we don't hear anymore. Other calls come. And we are diverted. We stop. We're arrested. No progress. So already speaking to me in South Jersey Bottom Churches this past few weeks is that we need to keep hearing that call. We need to plead the Lord that He will call us again and again, and that we'll hear that call, then we'll make it. It is an impossible way. It speaks not just in us individual life, but particularly speaks to us corporately. We are together by divine appointment. The Lord put us in Christ Jesus. It's His doing. It's His appointed place for us. So in a sense, we have no choice. It's His appointed place. We have no choice. So where can we go? Peter said, where can we go? You alone have the word to know. Where can we go? Christ is our appointed place. The body of Christ is our appointed place. Now initially, we come in, the love, the fellowship, we enjoy immensely. But when the building process gets going, and that's a different story, we seek escape. And many of us try. Of course, where can you go? We come back. We stay. We look at it, it somehow it seems impossible. And yet, the Lord is teaching us. Again, without faith, it is not possible to please Him. Brothers and sisters, faith always faces encounters the impossibles. Always face the unknowns. Faith always faces the things that seem hopeless. Faith always seems to face things that are impossible on our level. But the Hebrews said, without faith it is impossible to please. And he who comes must believe that he is. Everything is impossible, hopeless, but He is what? Our hope. In Him, all things are possible. And brothers, we can let go of everything, but we need to hang on to Him. And all will be well. as we enter into the end of this age, many brothers and sisters find things will be getting tougher and even more impossible. So what can we do? What can we do? And Hebrews, we read that passage, those who die in faith, not having received the promise, let's just look at that precious verse. Verse 13. All these die in faith without receiving the promises. That seems to be negative. But having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. They die in faith without having received the promises, but having seen them. That's a secret. Confess. That's faith. Because what is not seen is what? Eternal. What is seen is temporal. And that's faith. And so, brothers and sisters, cheer up. And so what we see around us, in ourselves, in our midst, thank God He is building His church. No question about it. Because our God cannot fail. And He's true to His word. And He's doing it. We may not see it, but He is still what? Faithful to it. And He's still doing it. Not having we see, but we what? We welcome. We confess. And seeing Him who's unseen. As we move toward the end of the age, and some of us will get older, and this country is a young man's country, a country of youth, life, vitality, everything has to be fashionable. And so when your folks are getting a little bit old, there are all kinds of facilities you can put them away. And a very comfortable way. You hear all this advertising now for the old folks. Or everything. And I just want to say this. Not really for myself, because I'm getting to be that old, getting older now. But I just come to a deeper appreciation of the aged saints in our midst. The external beauty seems to be fading away. Instead of an asset, now they may become a liability. It's not easy. The brothers and sisters, we need to see the unseen. I tell you, some of these aged saints, there is something very beautiful beyond the physical. Because of all these years, there's much deposit, and we cannot do without them. We cannot do without them. Praise the Lord. Seeing the unseen. And sometimes when you see young people rebellious, as our brother shared when he was a young man, when he was a boy, he was a naughty boy. Now, if you just look at the scene, you say, oh, that boy, that man, hopeless. You get him up. You wash your hand. But can we see the unseen? In spite of what we see, we confess and believe, welcome to the Lord, will do something. Faith triumphs. Faith is real. Faith is spirituality. Only faith can please God. And and the work is faith, the life is faith, and the way is well faith. And particularly just touch a little bit on the work of faith. It's so easy when we engage in the Lord's work, we want to see things happen. We want to be able to count our successes. Now, if it's your own work, you have the right to do so. But if it's the work of the Lord, let Him do the counting. Let us not do it. Because we are part of His work. And so, count the Lord for what He's doing. And let's praise the Lord. This trip to Israel, even though it was very taxing, it was very rewarding. Because of the fellowship of the saints. All these living stones, about 150 some of them, we lived together for about 3 weeks. We broke bread 3 times, one in Tiberia, one in Jerusalem, and one near the Garden Tomb. And to me, it's a real testimony. I believe personally Israel will never be the same again, because those who are now visiting Israel, they are truly the Lord. And when they go to that land, they bear the testimony of the Lord Jesus. And maybe this is one way the Lord will open the eyes of His earthly chosen people. And thank the Lord for allowing me to learn and to be reminded a few of His spiritual principles. And they're very real. And brothers and sisters, we are all still prone to live by sight. We all are. May the Lord deliver us. We are all prone to create something with our own hands and obsessed by it. May the Lord deliver us from that. We are all living stones, but if we are not in His hand, we become hindrances, stumbling blocks to others. It's on Him He can change us, build us. And the Lord's way is always impossible. Impossible. Natural man cannot live by faith. Even carnal man cannot live by faith. But only a true spiritual man can live by faith. And the Lord's one lesson He's teaching all of us, I believe, is this way of faith. Because without faith, it is not possible to please Him. Now, brothers, don't we all want to please Him? If you want to please Him, the only way is to live a life of faith and be in the way of faith, and the work that we engage should be the work of faith. To Him be all the glory, and thank God He's doing it. He's doing it. Just bow our heads. Father, we thank You for our time together. We just pray that You continue to speak to our hearts. You know what we are in ourselves. Lord, we cannot change ourselves. Only You can change us. The Lord, we pray that before You change us, we see something of You. Because we long for You to be like You. And You can change us into Your likeness. Help us, Lord, to see the Lord Jesus in ever increasing measure. And draw us to You, that we may all follow.